Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine, and things that go with wine.
Like cheese.
Cheese.
And bubbles. Ding, 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 ding. And
bubbles. Bubbles is wine.
Bubbles is wine. So, but I have my bubble bell back today.
Yep.
Thank you.
And that is because of lots of reasons.
So many reasons. It's my birthday month.
August is your birthday month.
So we should celebrate.
Me too.
All the time.
Oh.
It's our guest birthday month. It's my birthday. I mean, and we just have, today's like going to be a gluttonous show because.
Yep.
I am looking at a lot of cheese, a bottle of bubbles, donuts, and I get to celebrate all that with my bubble bell.
Yes, you do.
Which I haven't gotten in a long time. So thanks for, I think you've been hiding it.
Because time.
You know I have a tendency to overuse it.
I'm trying to think if it's been a 6-month reprieve or...
it's like bubble bell probation.
I have to look. Yeah, yes, you've been on bubble. Yes, we'll see how it goes today and what happens.
I'm going to be very reserved and on best bubble behavior because I want the bell more often.
Okay.
So that's my commitment. At the start of the show. We'll see how that works.
Yeah, we'll see once the sugar and everything cuts in.
Once I'm in my cheese coma.
Yes, right. Yeah. You might not be able to help yourself.
I know.
So before we completely lose ourselves to the silliness, what's new and exciting at the Wine Growers?
Well, the opposite of eating has been our sports partnerships. So the working out piece, we've had a really great week, actually. We were activating, you know, as you know, we have a great partnership with the San Francisco Giants. And this past week, we did kind of our biggest activation of the year, which was hosting two evenings at Triples Alley. So before the games, bringing 6 wine partners both evenings. And then we also did a panel. So Amy G hosted a panel there. Mm-hmm. And we had some of our vintner grower friends on the panel, as well as Evan Goldstein, who we know is the master sommelier and first master sommelier in major sports.
Yeah, very cool.
Being the somm for the Giants. And so, yeah, I mean, we love that partnership. It's literally in our backyard and really fun because I think it gives us a chance to bring Giants fans some of the wines that they know and are like kind of tried and true favorites from Sonoma County, but also sneak in a couple newer or small family brands that they may not be familiar with that are really fun and exciting to try. So we did a lot of baseball this week. A lot
of
baseball.
I love baseball.
I know. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like, it's like, do we want to stay for the game? Yeah,
yes.
We want to stay for the game. Like, isn't that the whole point? We're doing this whole partnership so we can go to games. So there you go. So yeah, it's been a really great week for that. So much fun.
All right. Well, we should really get back to the cheese part of our program because the mysterious voice that everybody heard earlier is our guest, Karen Bianchi Moreda. And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Moreda.
That's correct.
She is the owner of Valley Ford Cheese and Creamery in Valley Ford. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So you're an August birthday baby, and I think she should have the rights to the bubble bell at least once or twice today.
Yeah. I was ringing it for her. I saw the look.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
you made me the cue.
I have to say, I'm going to be the big 6-0.
Congratulations!
Yeah.
So that's a big. I'm not even saying what I am, but it's a
big one.
Yeah, that is a big
one. I'm happy I made it there. So
right,
eating a lot of cheese.
Like they said, so that just goes to show a healthy diet of cheese and wine is exactly what you need to have great life and longevity
and a life in agriculture.
Even more so,
keeps you active, keeps you connected to your surroundings. So, yeah.
A life in agriculture is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and I think there is a history of longevity. I mean, we've had many families on and people on our show that are 5th, 6th generation, but great-grandfather is still alive or great-grandmother is still alive. And I think the animals keep you young, the grapes, whatever it is you're growing.
And just being outside.
For sure, being outside, off your phone.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, and just the idea of stewardship. Mm-hmm. Right. So taking care of animals, stewarding the land, there's a lot of responsibility and joy, I think, that goes in that. So, but you didn't hear it from me. We should hear it from our guests.
We will hear it from our guests. She is I will just read a couple little snippets from her bio before we take a break and bring her back on to tell her story. But she's a dedicated cheesemaker, deep roots in her family's 640-acre dairy farm in Valley Ford. And you are a partner with your son, 25-year-old son, Joe. And you make cheeses under the Valley Forge Cheese Company label.
Which are delicious.
I know, which we are eating very much on air. Sorry. And but you'll tell us the story a little bit more about the Bianchi side of the family that's been in the dairy business for nearly 100 years.
So awesome.
It is.
So all things cheese and Bubble Bell when we return.
Are back on The Good Stuff today with our guest, Karen Bianchi-Moreta from Valley Forge Cheese and Creamery. And Karen, before we ask you to tell your life story and tell us about the cows and tell us about the cheese, tell us first what you brought for us today, because we are, full disclosure, eating some of the cheese as we, in between talking, hopefully.
I know. We had to play the music a little longer so we could actually finish the cheese that we were probably eating. So,
that is true. But tell us what you brought, and then we'll ask you more questions.
Today I brought our newest cheeses, which is our fresh ricotta. Literally just made this morning. Drizzled a little honey on it. Our fresh mozzarella, also made this morning. And then I just brought our Estero Gold. That was what started the whole entire cheese path that I went down. And I brought the Young, and I brought the Estero Gold Reserve, which is a year old. A little fig jam to have with it. Mm-hmm. And then also our Gorgonzola. So there's a little honey drizzled on that. So you get that little sweet and salty with it and all that good stuff. And some fun pesto curds, fresh cheese curds with pesto on it.
Yeah.
I'm eating the Reserve Estero Gold right now. It's delicious. And we're drinking some bubbles with it because why not?
Because why not? It's the middle of the show's called The Good Stuff.
So that is the good stuff.
That is the good stuff. We have to,
Okay. Go back to your beginning, Karen.
Welcome back to the show.
So talk about the history of just sort of dairies and agriculture and your family and...
You know, I'm excuse me, I'm really fortunate that I am the fourth generation, and must be the bubbles, the little bubble there.
Just clear it out with more bubbles.
I'll ring the bell while we take a break. There you go.
In 2006, I decided to venture down the cheese making path. Took some classes at Cal Poly. And since we had such a beautiful herd of Jersey cows, beautiful milk, it's like, let's go for it. Family, we had a meeting. I remodeled a little building. And it was going to be an expensive hobby. Probably like a lot of new wine growers.
How it starts.
And then we decided to go a little bigger. And I entered a contest. And we won Best of Show for California in 2010. And that just started the whole journey. And that was just with the two cheeses, the Young Estero Gold and then the Estero Gold Reserve. So that cheese just is one of those cheeses that gets better with age. So at 2 years, it also won an award in Italy at the World Cheese Awards. So really proud of that cheese, but then we added all these others over the years. But I have to say, my son, I'm the fourth generation. My son Joe is the fifth generation. He's 36.
We underaged him, I think, in our intro.
Yeah. Time has gone by fast.
We know that. They grow up fast.
So. Time's gone by really fast. And then my son Jim is 34. So they went away to college. Never really was supposed to come back, and they did. And one was into dairy products, one was into husbandry, and that's
perfect.
When everything started. The combination of everything happened. And my dad, my brother, my boys, we were all just enjoying the venture of doing the cheese, still producing milk volume.
Yeah.
And in 2016, we bought a building in Valley Forge. And we renovated it, and now we have a shop restaurant. My younger son, Jim, has a dairy in Tamales. Mm-hmm. He's milking over 100 cows, and they're all still 100% Jerseys. And we're just growing that our cheese lines. So fresh cheese, aged cheese, soft serve, gelato.
Some of the best soft serve. And if you want literally the best grilled cheese sandwich in the world, go to Valley Forge Cheese and have one of their grilled cheese sandwiches. Sit at the bar, glass of wine, grilled cheese sandwich, homemade chips.
Okay.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious. But go back even further, Karen. Like, you grew up on a dairy farm.
I did.
So talk about that, and how did your family originally, like, what generation got into dairy farming, and where are you family from originally, and what's the story?
Really, in a really short, if I can. They came in the early 1900s, and they purchased the ranch in Valley Forge in 1918. So dairying has been in that our family, and that's all I've ever known. And it just, I don't know, watching you produce and meat and vegetables and everything and getting your hands dirty over growing up like that, I just think it just makes you appreciate agriculture so much more these days. So that just, I always had, and probably like everyone here, loves agriculture. Yeah. It's in my blood. It's in my kids' blood. Mm-hmm. But I really feel blessed that we were able to stay in Valley Forge. So, you know, 107 years later almost, we're still there. And we're growing.
And we're growing.
And the sixth generation is going to be 2 years old. So big plans for her.
She's just going to take over the world. Yeah. But so prior to you coming to your family and saying, I really want to make cheese, no one had sort of dabbled with that idea? Was some of the milk that you were producing going to cheesemakers? Like, what made you want to do cheese?
Yeah, that's a good question. The artisan movement was really starting to happen. And I was about 10 years behind that, but I think the thought was always there. And it was either do cheese and artisan cheese or maybe go into the ice cream. It's a little tougher to go into ice cream, to share shelves with very large brands. Totally different than the cheese. And I think you get that artistry with the cheese, so that's why we all said, let's do the cheese. It was a family decision, and it probably was the best decision. But now here we are making soft serve now all these years later. And we know a little bit more now of the industry. But I think for the most part, you know, this, we took the best path right now. And the cheese artisan movement, some have came, some have gone. It's a tough industry. You know, you milk the cows twice a day, 365 days a year. You have to do something with the milk. So if it's not going into a fluid milk plant, we have to make cheese every day. So.
Do you use all of the milk that you produce for the cheese operation, or are you still selling to other people?
And so some of the milk, a lot of the milk goes into another creamery. And then my son's milk, we are taking about 70% of it. So it's going to also another cheesemaker.
So, and we had Jennifer Beretta, obviously another, dairy family here in Sonoma County on the show a couple of weeks ago. And she was talking, because they have Holsteins and Jersey cows. You were talking about Jersey cows, right? So what's special about Jersey cows? And, like, do you think that actually plays a role in the cheese you make and the end flavors? And how did you get all this?
It does. The Jerseys are known for their smaller, cute little brown eyes, everybody always says. They have the higher butter fat. So depending on the time of the year, if they're grazing, their diets, you know, you're working with a nutritionist, the components change throughout the year. So you get that little seasonality, which is really fun. And if you looked at these colors of these cheeses, you can see that the spring milk is really yellow. I wish everybody could see it. But it's the carotenes in the grasses, and that is really high from that butter fat. And then we also put that into our soft serve. So when you're adding a little cream, we can add a little less because the high volume of the fat
in the milk
just
itself.
Gives it. It's just it's amazing, and it's a full fat ricotta, mozzarella, so it's fresh, and you will get that little bit of seasonality. But I think the Jerseys, when you are picking a product, sometimes it's a little tricky because of the fat. When you're like at a 5% milk fat in the spring, you get these little differences in them, which is kind of fun. And people they want to ask questions why it's so yellow. Why is the Gorgonzola so yellow right now? It's the spring grasses.
So you mentioned the nutritionist. Does the nutrition of your cows have to change when you go into cheese making versus just milk?
No, not really.
Okay.
We just want to make sure that they are getting, the cows get fed very, very, you know, diets that are at that time of the year. Whether it's in the barn, it's out in the fields grazing, and depending on the pastures, you could have 6 months of grass pasture, which by the coastal hills, you get that little salty air. The grasses stay a little greener longer. So it depends. Every ranch is different. My son's dairy it's a beautiful grazing ranch. So the pastures there are like knee deep, you know, in April. It's absolutely gorgeous.
No, I love, because I don't think people actually think about the variability of sort of vintage, and in this case season, because of what the cow is eating, and that experience definitely goes into the product and into the milk, and it can influence that. And I think that's so cool and really special, actually, because it gives you that sense of timing and place that we talk a lot about with wine.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think this came up with Jennifer, too, just this, the beauty of these coastal hills in Sonoma and into Marin, and how they do play such a crucial part in this history that we have with dairy in this part of the world. And so, and it sounds like it would be a very different experience if you had to graze them, you know, in a hotter area or a place that maybe didn't grow grass as long in the season.
It would. I think this is probably one of the greatest climates for any animals. You know, whether it's a beef, sheep, dairy, we're by the coast. We get the coastal winds, breezes.
That influence the fog.
The fog. We were heavy in fog this morning, and then it was clearing out to the sun. So you get that little, those little variances, which is really nice. And I think that spills over to any kind of product you're getting out of our area. You know, those coastal wine grapes, which are more and more now out there.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we try to put into the land is what we get out of it.
For sure.
So we are very cautious of, you know, from carbon farming to everything, to just take care of the land that's taking care of us. So it goes two ways.
So talk a little bit. You, clearly your family's from Italy. I'm getting that right with your name. Were they in agriculture in Italy? Do you know, like, what part do they come from? Why, how do they land in Valley Ford?
My family is from Garzano, Italy, but then the other side of my grandmother's family, all Marin County dairies too, they were from Monte Carasso, Switzerland, on the Italian side.
There you go.
And I got to go over and spend time with them. Cheese made in a beautiful copper vat.
Wow.
Same, almost the same profiles of our cheeses, which I have on video, and I just, it was just the greatest experience. And I think they would be really proud that now I'm continuing on with this, and it was just fun to see over there that what they were doing, we are continuing all these years later.
Have you been able to incorporate some of these sort of historic techniques or anything that you saw when you were in Switzerland observing the cheese making? Like, do you use sort of artisan techniques in your work?
Well, modern technology is wonderful now. But so. I have to say, we don't heat the vat with a fire, which they do up in the mountains. There's different areas that cheese is made and protected by their areas of cheeses they make. But we have modern technology. But I will tell you, when I first started, I had a vat that I had to stir all by hand. It wasn't mechanical. It was an hour and a half of stirring. It was my workout.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
And then when the new vac came and it started automatically and you could time it, I have to say it was one of the nicest things. So we have evolved, and I think it gives us a little bit more structure. We can be a little time friendly. We can make things happen accordingly than really doing it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
Did you listen to music while you were doing your stirring workout?
I
was like,
always.
Does the cheese have a song it likes?
Always.
Like,
dependent on the morning, right? If you needed that extra, extra boost.
I mean, would the bubble bell have been helpful if I were just sitting next to it, like, go, 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 go?
We might have to see. But first, we're going to take a quick break. On the Good Stuff with our guest today, Karen Bianchi-Moreta from Valley Forge Cheese and Creamery. And when we left, you were talking about the workouts that you used to put in to stirring the milk to make the cheese before you got some of these better, this better, more modern equipment. But
I'm just going to ring the bell for her on that one.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
An hour and a half is a lot.
Well, it's like punch downs when you're making wine.
It is.
I mean,
right.
Small, like when you're still doing small batches of wine fermentation, you're doing hand punch downs.
I think that's that artisan word that always comes up is
also known as sweat equity.
Yeah, it means that you had to do it the hard way.
Yeah.
But I would love to know a little bit more about how you especially with your son, Joe, who is more on the cheese side of the business. How do you guys work together? Like, what do you do? What does he do? Is it sort of an overlap?
Well, over the years, I think I did a little line of our new shop in Valley Forge, which we opened in May of 2019. He came back and started taking over the creamery. And nowadays, with all the regulations and everything, mm-hmm. he spends a lot of time
on a computer,
food safety programs. So it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
So his day-to-day activity, he runs the creamery. He manages all the milk deliveries. He basically runs everything in the creamery. So he has to be able to put some in a saucer, some in a cheese. So every day is like a little puzzle putting it together. And then I get to spend my time more in the office now mm-hmm. and doing some work on sales, and then, of course, being at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So we've definitely found where our strengths are, but yet we can still overlap. I was in the cheese plant this morning with them. So we're a good team. We seem to pick up where one would leave off during mm-hmm. the day. And then Jim, who is the dairyman, he's pretty amazing because he's had to come in and make cheese deliveries too. So I think, when you have a family business, like with anything, it has its challenges. I do know at the end of the day I'm really tired and they're still energized and it's time to take a rest.
Yeah.
So it's the best of all worlds, but he basically is now taking over the creamery and distributing about 1,000 gallons of where it's going to go each day, what products it's going to go into. And it's definitely a juggling act because, as you can see, we are making a lot of products.
Mm-hmm.
And you recently added the mozzarella.
The fresh mozzarella.
Yeah, and the ricotta. So what was that decision? How'd you bring those products into sort of your portfolio?
We were fortunate enough to take over a small little artisan creamery, or cheesemaker, I should say. And this was his Italian line. So what went better with ours?
Yeah.
Two Italian lines, fresh cheese and then our aged cheese. I have to say that the fresh cheeses are, you make it and it goes out. It's a very fast turnaround.
Quick.
Where I have been used to doing the aged cheeses, and you watch them on the shelf through the window. Yeah. Or,
but you can, which is so fun. I love seeing the wheels of cheese aging.
Exactly. Yeah. So this really changed. We started in November of last year with all the fresh products, and then we've grown. We have added probably about 30% more volume growth to that, just of the growth in that the last 6 months about. But it is, I have to say, it's very fast-paced. And every day it's inventory. Okay, what do we need? And you almost have to make guesstimates on all the pizzerias. Mm. We deliver, we have self-distribution also. Oh.
Wow.
So we have trucks going to the East Bay and San Francisco to pizzerias and the soft serve. Then we do have distribution also, you know, throughout California.
So how important was the sort of the hospitality piece, you know, opening this business in Valley Forge for your cheeses and having the little restaurant? Like, how important was that to the sustainability of Valley Forge, do you think?
You know, it ended up being bigger than what we thought. We incorporate all of the cheeses into foods. So we have a wonderful pastry chef and a chef and great staff who knows our cheeses. And what it did, having the retail outlet and the restaurant, was allow the educational component when people walk through the door and they want to ask questions. So you get to engage in that part, which is my favorite thing, that educational component to for young and older generations of teaching them maybe a little bit more about agriculture and a little bit about the cheese. On the other hand, we also learned during the pandemic we didn't have all our eggs in one basket. So in food service, you know, we would send lots of wheels of cheese out into the restaurants, and food service completely stopped. That allowed us to, our volume of retail sales went up tremendously. So we really realized that having, don't have all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, flexibility.
So we have, you know, our retail, we have our self-distribution, and then we have our distribution throughout the state. So I think we have found a balance and now to grow that. But it's the relationships that we have with, like, the pizzerias and our stores that carry our cheeses. So I think that's, I think it's been the funnest part. But opening the retail shop was huge, and that really kept us going.
Yeah.
Do you ship any cheeses to, like, consumers outside of the county, outside of California?
You know, the funny thing is,
sometimes
when the pandemic happened, there was a lot of wine and a lot of cheese boxes going.
Yeah, I
partnered with several wineries.
Amazing, yeah.
And we probably shipped out about 600 boxes of cheese, and we did virtual tastings. I think everybody was getting creative.
Yeah.
Because you still had to continue on, and we still had to make cheese.
Yep.
With the cows still producing milk every day. So there was, I think it made you think outside the box a little bit, which
a good thing, actually, in some ways.
There was a lot of things that moved faster than what we had kind of timelined. But in a way, we're better for it now. And I think that that's part of the learning curve through everything, and growth and opportunities and being here with you guys and, you know, just being able to tell your story.
Yeah. So how can people come and visit? So the retail store, give us the hours and sort of the website.
So we are open Wednesday through Sunday, 8 to 3, and 8 to 4 on Saturdays.
Okay.
And we have a rotating menu, and then we have our menus that cannot change, which would be our grilled cheese, our albacore melt. So there, it's fun because it's never the same, which I think people enjoy. So you get a little bit of stability with the things that we can never take off the menu, like the grilled cheese. Yeah. We have now our frittata.
Just don't ever do that.
Grilled cheese.
Yeah. You have a regular.
We have a frittata grilled cheese now.
Oh.
So it was kind of like this breakfast sandwich we just did on this weekend, and now it's every day. So it's fun to get and to get feedback. We always love to hear things too, as putting, you know, putting new things on cheese platters or love to hear feedback.
Mm-hmm. Do you do educational tours of going in and actually like seeing how the cheese is made or going to the farm, or are those pretty limited? Or
it's pretty limited. Yeah. Biosecurity and food safety is huge. Yes. So we would love to. I think that's one of my big things, is to do more educational mm-hmm. components. We did have a lot of kids back in, I think it was the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. We had groups coming through, and they'd get their hands. We'd keep a bucket of curds, and the kids would love to play with it. And it was actually second grade science standards. Wow. Based on that. And it was so great. And the kids remember it. Now they'll say, "We were at your ranch."
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. So
I think to answer that question, I'd love to do more.
Yeah,
and I think now we are getting, boots on the ground with adding the new line, and now it's to set out and do maybe some cheese making classes.
Yeah, that would be great.
People,
sign me up for that.
That would be fun.
Because I would love to do cooking classes, but I'm a terrible cook. So maybe cheese making is my future. So let's do
all
that.
Right, well, let's discuss over the break.
Okay,
we'll
let's
come
do
up
that.
With a plan
all right.
On the good stuff. We are back on the good stuff with Karen Bianchi Moreta from Valley Forge Cheese and Creamery. And so before the break, you were explaining some of the wonderful things that people can experience at your shop in Valley Forge and restaurant. What's the address, or how can people find you online? How can they order the cheeses?
We will put shipping back on the website come November.
Okay.
We just take that little summer months off. It's a little tricky
to ship.
Shipping the cheese. But our address in Valley Forge is 14390 Highway 1 in the big town of Valley Forge.
The bustling metropolis.
Don't blink.
Yes, if you blink, you have passed through the town. But we have a charming little town. We have so much new little additions of another shop opening up. And just, it's a fun little stop.
Well, I think it's just so fun to, especially on weekends, drive out to the coast, mm-hmm. stop through, either get some of the food to go, right? Because you have lots of great items
lots
to take
to go,
with
yes.
you out, and you can order food to go as well, or just grab a seat at the bar inside your shop and order the grilled cheese for sure, and have a glass of wine or some bubbles, and then off you go for your day of adventure. It's so nice.
Are there some wineries that you've partnered with more consistently, either in your restaurant shop or when you were doing some of these Zooms?
I did. Should I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Give a few names.
Yeah.
During the pandemic, I did do a huge project with Mondavi.
Oh, nice.
Which was fun. And Poppy Pietro. I can't say everybody. I just love being able to partner with a lot of the local ones. I'm having a lot of fun also working with the ones that are the unknowns, the small ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we did a month long with Drive Wines, which was fun.
Yeah.
And we had the rosé. So I'd love to add more so, Carissa.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, we're going to talk about this.
we carry...
Wait, does that mean I'm going to have more cheese available to me?
I think the big question
is what I'm hearing. I think yes.
So that's a definite
that
yes.
That is a bell pleaser, for sure.
But I have to say, we do work with, I can't even tell you all the names. I'm doing an event with Paradise Ridge.
Nice.
It's so fun. I try to have all local wines and local beers mm-hmm. on our menu, and Census Wines.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, those are family friends of ours. So I'm trying to plug as many as I can. We have the Denton Cider, Denton Goldfield. So KJ, Kendall Jackson. So there's a lot. If I missed you, come see me, because maybe we'll put you on the menu.
Yeah. Curious. So when you're enjoying some of your cheeses, do you think like, oh, this would go really well with Chardonnay? Or if you're having a Chardonnay, you're like, oh, this would go really well. Like, does that live in your headspace of like some of the pairings you could do? Or, oh, this would be...
It does.
Yeah.
It does. In fact, I just had a rosé from a really small place up in Hillsburg, and it was so delicious. I had never heard of them. I said, are going to bring them in. They're one of the small ones.
That's great.
I think that's what's really fun is getting to know them and then hear about how they started.
Yeah.
Kind of like me, you know, as a hobby, and then all of a sudden it curates into something bigger. But I would love to do more. So
yeah, you know, we're going to brainstorm all of that.
Yeah, because and family farms, helping family farms, no matter what you're producing, right? I mean, I think the cheese. Obviously, there's a reason wine came about in this area, and there's a similar reason why cheese came about, and because it works here and it works together.
Well, look at the abundance of vegetables too. We have right now are sourcing from our local produce stand right down the road. It is amazing. It's in Freestone. It is so fun to watch somebody take a piece of land and grow these amazing vegetables, and we get to go down the road and pick what we want and put them on our plate.
I didn't like tomatoes before I moved to California, so there you go. And specifically Sonoma County,
reason.
So there you
For
go.
Very good reason.
And now mozzarella and tomatoes
is a house.
Mozzarella is
a staple in our house.
Is a given. So it is so fun working with small producers, big producers.
I know.
So, Caressa, we're going to
do some small wineries.
Yes.
Well, I think we should take a quick break, but I think we should ask Karen to stay. Maybe we can add a Tuesday night cheese to go
Absolutely.
With our Tuesday night wine. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
All right, we'll
come
be
back. We are back on the good stuff to wrap things up with our guest, Karen Bianchi Moretta of Valley Forge Cheese and Creamery. And man, we got to get right to it. What are we going to, you know?
I know. So I think we should, for fun, add our Tuesday night cheese and our Tuesday night wine.
I think so.
So I'll start. I've been enjoying some of the Linmar Estate wines. And so I really like the Susanna's Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it with the Reserve Estero Gold cheese because that, mwah.
All right,
coastal, the bubble bell for the win.
Coastal wine. I love it. Okay, yeah. I don't have a bell, but
I got it for you.
But thank you for that. I think this Tuesday I'm going to enjoy a small producer named Cormorant. The winemaker is Charlie Gilmore. He makes a Grenache Blanc Marsan from Preston Family in Dry Creek, and I just think it's going to go really well with.
Oh yeah, with what?
I'm going to have all of the cheeses. I'm not going to pick just one.
Why limit yourself? It's Tuesday night. So if you're going to do the good stuff, just do it all.
Yeah, cheese.
So I haven't had those wines, so I'm coming over.
Okay. Yeah. And Karen, what about you?
Yeah, what
we
are you drinking?
We pulled you into our,
what are you eating?
Our segment.
Oh, boy. You put me on the spot.
We have a deep philosophy that on Tuesday night, why wait? Just drink your good stuff.
You should drink some of the best wine.
And eat your good stuff.
Why
so
not?
What, you know, is there a special bottle?
Let's see, tonight with this heat, well, not that it's really hot in Valley Forge, but it is warm.
For Valley Forge,
probably have a rosé.
Nice.
And usually I'll just have a few pieces of the Estero Gold that. Just something really easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A couple of crackers, maybe a little side... Salamette.
Okay.
You know, I kind of do the whole Italian.
Yeah. I do feel like I'm going to start with the pesto cheese curds and then move into the Estero Gold, just for the record.
Don't
I was like
yourself.
Eyeing them and I'm like, I'm going to do that too.
It's Sonoma County girl dinner.
It is.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, girl dinner.
Like we should
and
have
And girl math on the calories. Zero.
Cheese, wine, repeat. That's
perfect.
All we need. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Karen. And everybody go visit Valley Forge. Visit the website. Starting in November, we'll be shipping again. Go to the retail, have a grilled cheese at the restaurant.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bring
again.
Cheese home.
Yep.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was great to have you.
All right. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.